We're just seconds away from a conversation with Congresswoman Cindy Axne, who represents Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. We're going to be talking about some legislative priorities she thinks are important for not only Iowans, but the rest of the nation. Cindy Axne, coming up next here on the Business News Hour. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of Taro International. Achieve, lead, and outclass in your personal and in your business life. Learn more at TERO.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
It is the Business News Hour, and with us is a freshman congresswoman who's just flown back to her home state of Iowa, Cindy Axne. Welcome to the Business News Hour. Good to see you again.
Oh, it's great to see you.
You know, I saw the photograph on Facebook of your plane landing in Des Moines, and you quoted, you said, this is the best view of any view. How are things in D.C. these days?
Well, things are going very well, but I'll tell you what, and I mean it, I miss this state, and every time I land, I'm just thrilled to be here because, you know, you really realize that we have the best people in the country here in Iowa, and there is so much to cut through red tape-wise and people who are just pushing political party agendas and their own agendas without looking at what's important for they're the people that they represent. And so that's the difficult part of being in Washington, is that you're trying to get a job done, but you're not always on the same page with every other representative, in that this is all about the people that they serve. And so I'm trying to be that voice and make sure that I always do my job, which is represent our voices.
Yeah, and no matter the party.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, to get things done, we have to work across the lines.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just, we all remember, you were probably too young, but when Ronald Reagan was president and Tip O'Neill was Speaker of the House, we got some stuff done.
That's what I've heard.
Even though they're politics. Yeah, it was before you were born. Unfortunately, not for me. You were at the Asian Latino Coalition meeting, and you were highlighting some things that you're involved with. And as folks who are regular listeners of the Business News Hour, they know that we don't necessarily always delve into politics. But I was really interested in something that you're pushing and co-sponsoring to lighten the load, if you will, with regard to getting federal grants and making that more streamlined and transparent. Can you flesh that out a little bit and why that's important?
Sure. And you just talked about doing your job as a representative and working with others in a bipartisan way. And so that was brought to me by a Republican representative from the South. And she said, listen, I hear you're interested in making sure that our local communities have access to grant money that we're leaving on the table. And I said, well, I'm just really grateful you're hearing that. It means that my message of helping our local communities is getting out there. So I'm an original co-sponsor of a bill called the GREAT Act, which stands for Grant Reporting Efficiency and Agreements Transparency. So what this does is twofold. It takes a grant system that right now is very difficult to maneuver through. We work with 26 different departments who have 26
wow.
different types of ways to achieve grants, from using PDFs to Word documents to online to paper. And so
it's confusing to people that want to do this work.
It's very confusing. There's oftentimes a lot of requirements that are difficult for smaller communities or people or organizations that don't have a specific resource, a person set aside to just work on grants. And so this will help people maneuver through the system and actually get the money. We're leaving about $6 billion of grant money on the table right now. Yeah, that nobody's
wow.
using. And I want that to go to Iowa. And so this will enable those types of organizations, nonprofits, smaller communities, any local community, to actually go through the system and get a grant more efficiently and effectively. The other thing that it does is it does hold government accountable. And I think that's really important, that we make sure that those grant monies are that are transparent and we understand where our taxpayer dollars are going.
Yeah, you mentioned something about the transparency so that people can follow that grant, who's getting it.
That's
and
right.
can follow it all the way through.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, and then they're going to be able to follow, you know, even drill further down and find out where the money's going, what type, who the vendors are. And it's really going to be helpful because we absolutely need to make sure that anybody that we're paying with taxpayer dollars to do a job, you know, related to receiving grant money is we're getting a good return on that investment.
And that is something that we'll be watching, of course. And that is so important for so many of the nonprofit and the communities that are trying to do something on their main streets or wherever it happens to be to make a better community. There's $6 billion that's sitting on the table.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You know, for instance, I was talking with folks in Greenfield who received a grant to basically refurbish their opera house. And it's a great cultural opportunity for a community that has very little when it comes to, you know, entertainment like that. And it also is a great venue for weddings. There's places where you can stay there. And so what they were telling me is that, you know, they got their grant money to actually refurbish it, but now they can't afford a lot of the maintenance related to it. And I think it's just unacceptable that we're putting money towards projects that then we can't maintain. And so this is a great example of how we can find money to do that.
Cindy Axne, ladies and gentlemen, Congresswoman Cindy Axne from the 3rd Congressional District in Iowa. 15 of your counties are rural.
Correct.
And that's a big swath of the 3rd District. One of the mainstays for any county, rural or urban, tends to be its hospitals, its nursing homes, those places where people live and work and often, unfortunately, die. What are you hearing?
Sure. So I just did an 8-county rural healthcare tour, and we were in clinics, you know, very small clinics, all the way up to Critical Care Access Hospital in Atlantic. And I can tell you, across the board, rural healthcare needs support. There are some great things going on, and of course, as Iowans, they are propping up their communities and making sure they can do anything they can to ensure healthy living for people and access to affordable quality healthcare. But we lack doctors, nurse practitioners. We also have an issue around telemedicine. We need telehealth out there. We absolutely have to address the loopholes within the system that keep money from being like expanded Medicaid subsidies, for example, that we want to keep those in place, but we also want to make sure that our providers are reimbursed appropriately. So in some cases, we have rural health clinics that are only getting reimbursed at an 80% rate as opposed to 100% rate just because it's owned by an individual and not a hospital. Well, what does it matter? They're still doing the same service, and we want to make sure that people have that access. So they can't continue to operate at a loss and function and serve the people in that community. So those are the things we need to work on. But I can tell you, we're working hard. They're doing everything they can. But it's definitely an issue of resources, and it's absolutely an issue of enough staff.
Cindy Axne, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about issues that she thinks are extremely important, not only to her district, but all of the United States. You sit on the Ag Committee. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
That's a very important committee. And because it does represent so many of your constituents in the 3rd District. Renewable energy is also a big deal, and you spoke about that today as well. Can you flesh that out a little bit, how important it is for people to understand the not only climate change, but also how Iowa ranks when it comes to renewable energy? And a conversation that you had back in D.C. With people that go, Iowa, what?
Sure. Well, so what I'm trying to do is really raise up the voice of Iowans. And so I'm taking every opportunity I can to get leadership out here to let people know about our industries. And you talked about renewable energy. So whether it's our wind industry that we've grown and we are leaders in, or of course, you know, clean biofuels, renewable fuels, that's something I want to make sure that people in Washington know is happening here. So one of the things I'm focused on is bringing the energy and commerce team out here, the committee. They deal with renewable energy. They had no idea about Iowa's wind production or some of our clean biofuels, and they were surprised to hear that. But what it did was pique their interest in understanding that we don't just look at coasts, and we look at our heartland as innovators and people who are actually doing good things and creating solutions to our problems. So I'm hoping to get them out here and really highlight our renewable energy and our renewable fuels and bring more opportunity to Iowa.
I want to talk for just a moment before we let you go. I know you've got an important event happening in a little bit. One of the things that I think people may not realize, especially if they are in urban settings, is the hollowing out of our rural communities. This is fascinating. In 10 years, between 2007 and 2017, bankruptcies in the district that Iowa is part of, from North Dakota all the way to Missouri, were increased by 97%. In Iowa alone, suicides are up in 1 year's time by 36%. Many of those folks are in rural parts of the country. What do you think, Congresswoman, needs to be done to be assistive to rural communities in your district and across the United States?
Well, there's many things. First and foremost, we need to make sure that our agriculture community has opportunity. I spoke with a farmer recently who came off a hailstorm that hurt the majority of his crops. Then he's been hurt by the trade war. And then when government shut down, he lost money because he couldn't get his operating loan. So I literally was talking to this man about making sure he was there for his family. He's so distraught. He thinks he's going to have to sell the farm. Government's not helping him out. It's actually making it worse for him. And so that's unacceptable. Government should always be there to improve the lives of people and not make life more difficult for them. So I'm thrilled to be on the Agriculture Committee and also Financial Services, because in both of those committees, I'm working on rural development issues. And so not only do we need to help with our ag community and make sure that we focus on renewable energies as an industry, but we also need to ensure that those we keep our hospitals open, those critical access hospitals, like I just told you, and make sure that we protect those reimbursements so we can make sure healthcare is there. We absolutely need to make sure that we protect public schools and their funding. Public schools, public jobs, and healthcare are some of the biggest providers of jobs in those rural areas, and so that's really important. And then, of course, an infrastructure bill, roads, bridges, water, sewer systems, cellular, broadband. We can't expect that our smaller communities can compete unless they have the opportunities that we have in urban areas. And so those are all big issues that we need to address. And, you know, they're not insurmountable. We absolutely can make things better for people.
You know, we jumped right into the Q&A here, Congresswoman, but I just wanted to leave with this. Thank you for coming back to Iowa and making sure that you're speaking for all Iowans. And I think that's very, very important. And the other thing is, this is a two-year gig. Huh. So you've always got to be mindful of the fact, I imagine, that the election is right around the corner.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, as much as I'm working on being the best congresswoman I can, I know that that's out there. And I want to make sure that I do my job of being a representative. And to your point, that is a representative to everybody. That's Democrats, Republicans, and independents alike, that we're all in this together. And I want every single family to have opportunity and to succeed. And so what I've said to myself is, listen, if I'm doing my job right, I'm going to get reelected because I'm out there to help people in Iowa, and I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing.
And you know what? We didn't have time, but I would love to ask you at your next opportunity. We want to dig into healthcare and prescription drugs, because I know that's a very important thing for you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the things that the Democratic majority will be moving on really quickly. It's unacceptable what we're seeing in this country.
Congresswoman, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, Mike, it's great to be here.
Once again, that was Congresswoman Cindy Axne, who represents the 3rd Congressional District in the state of Iowa. My, how her life has changed in the past 8 or 9 weeks. Well, that about wraps it up for today. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. Be safe, be well, be careful most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.